just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It is Saturday. I had a busy day yesterday. Actually, last night I did a live on YouTube. Much different than doing it on TikTok. I actually kind of like it on YouTube. Now, there wasn't as many people there. You know, maybe 50, 60 people came through. But it was fun because we got a chance to interact with some folks, and we did that. If you want to see that, I believe it's on YouTube now. You can watch the whole thing. It's about an hour and 35, 45 minutes. So it's quite lengthy, and we cover a lot of things we'll cover in this particular podcast as well. I wanted to say a special thank you to Alona. Now, Alona's written some emails. She's been on the show. I've been on her show, for that matter. And she sent a note on yesterday's show that said she was sending along a birthday present, not so much for me, but for my granddaughter. My birthday is on Tuesday. My granddaughter's is on April 26. She's 4 years old. This whole party is going to be Super Kitties themes. Yeah, there's a show called Super Kitties now, and my granddaughter's big into kitties. So Ilona sent something along for my granddaughter. I want to show it to you here because it's fucking awesome. Let's see if you can, I don't know if you can see it here. It's kind of hard. You can see it's got the kitty face on it. It's pink. This lighting's not really showing you that. It's pink. It's got the little ears and stuff. So it's fucking awesome. And it's perfect for the upcoming party. Little Junie will be wearing it throughout the party, and she'll think she's pretty cool because pretty much she is pretty fucking cool. Anyway, thank you, Alona. I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate the well wishes for my 64th birthday. Actually, my granddaughter and I are exactly 60 years apart. My wife and I are about a month and a half apart. Her birthday is May 26th. My birthday is April 16th. Right in the middle is our little Junie, on April 26th. So it's a couple of birthday months for us, and we're going to try to make it as pleasant as we can for her. We're having a party over at our house. We have a party room. There's a pool right next to it. It's going to be pretty exciting. She loves swimming and cousins and stuff and all that over. It's always a great time, so we're excited about that. All right, we're going to get into the podcast. You know, for a minute, I thought maybe I just post the live I did as the podcast. That would have been the good way, the lazy way out. I could have got away with it, but I don't know enough about how to deal with it and how to separate the audio and do all that. Said, fuck it, I'll just do another one. Now, we're literally within 2 days of Donald Trump going on criminal trial in the Manhattan District. Literally 2 days. Donald Trump filed a motion on Monday to delay it. It was denied. Donald Trump filed a motion on Tuesday to delay it. It was denied. Wednesday, it was a motion filed to delay it, and it was denied. Now, people think that's a lot of denials. That's a lot of motions. Well, the fact of the matter is, as of Wednesday, he had filed 10 motions to delay, and they were all denied. And I thought, well, there's surely going to be something happening as we go into the weekend. And there was. On Friday morning, he issued another ridiculous motion to delay, and it was denied. So 11 times Donald Trump asked for a delay, 11 times he was denied. And that's oh so Donald Trump, nothing but failures. Donald Trump is squirming now because he doesn't have a choice. He's going to have to go to trial. It's a criminal trial. 34 felony charges. He is most certainly going to get convicted. But the biggest part of this is he's going to have to sit in this courtroom every day, 4 days a week, maybe 8 to 10 hours, and he's going to have to try to behave. And you and I know that he's not going to fucking behave. So it's going to be interesting to see what the judge does with that. But what's going to make this even harder, because he's stuck in this trial, he has no choice. He has to show up a week from Monday. They are going to have the hearing to decide whether this bond company is legit and if they actually have the money to post this bond. Well, everything we know to this point says they don't. And if they find that this bond company isn't legitimate, then guess what? Theoretically, Letitia James can start seizing and liquidating properties. So Donald Trump's going to have to go through that while while he's in court and can't move. And on top of that, on the 25th, they're going to have the arguments for his immunity claim with the Supreme Court. Now, they probably won't come out with a decision right away. It might take a month or two, but there's no way Donald Trump's going to get immunity. And that is the basis for the defense in all of his court cases. Next week's going to be a motherfucker for Donald Trump, I guarantee you. And it's not going to go well. All right, we have some emails as we commonly do. This one, Tim from North Carolina, says, "Hi, Boomer. I've been listening for a while and appreciate your positive outlook for the upcoming election. I've tried not to be one of the worriers, but I can't help but think about one issue I don't think I've heard you discuss, the economy. I'm afraid gas or egg prices will go up again and people will lose their minds. I don't know why people think the Republicans would do any better, but for some reason that seems to be the case. Hopefully reasonable minds will prevail, but I wish I could be as confident as you are. Keep up the good work, Tim in North Carolina." Well, thank you, Tim. Inflation is coming down. The economy is going gangbusters, the stock market, wages, manufacturing. The unemployment is the lowest in 50 years. Everything says that the economy is going well. I've talked about this before. Yeah, we do have some inflation. Yeah, we do have higher gas prices. And those are all very important. And in a normal election, I would say, yeah, that might be a problem. But do you think those two things are more important than overturning Roe v. Wade, taking a constitutional right away from 50% of this country, meaning women, and pissing off 75% of the country, and then constantly throwing draconian shit like this Arizona law that's coming about? I'm going to tell you right now, the economy usually is first and foremost in people's mind when it comes to election. But when you start taking constitutional rights away from people, that changes everything. I'm very confident that Donald Trump cannot win. The economy seems to be improving every day. And if it keeps on that track, the economy won't even be an issue because there's too many other bigger issues, like Donald Trump gets convicted of multiple felonies, like Donald Trump took credit for overturning Roe v. Wade, pissing off 75 to 80% of this country, putting women in danger and taking away constitutional rights. Yeah, if this was a normal fucking election, maybe the economy might be a slight issue, but this isn't a normal election, and they aren't going to be worried about the normal shit. All right, the next one says, "Hello, Mike. I have not written in a while, but have not missed a podcast or TikTok. I always have thoughts I would like to share during the podcast, but seem to be so busy working that I never get them together in an email. Well, today I'm taking a break to share two thoughts that I have not heard mentioned. First, FISA allows for electronic surveillance of foreign entities, even if it may capture U.S. citizens as a part of the communications. Well, I wonder if Dirty Diaper Donnie Trump wants the reauthorization of this bill killed because he's afraid he will be caught talking and communicating with his Russian handlers. It's possible. Seems plausible to me. The second comment is about his less than truth social IPO. He has been pumping up the success of the media company and failed to share the major financial losses. If I remember correctly, and that has become a challenge for me some days, Martha Stewart promoted her stock and implied that the company was more valuable than it was, and she got prosecuted by the federal government and spent some time in jail. This is true, and this is exactly what Donald Trump did. Is Donald Trump at risk of being prosecuted for such? Yeah, I think he is. But they're going to have to get in line because there's 91 felony charges waiting to be prosecuted. Yeah, when this is all said and done, and when this shakes out, and when Truth Social becomes a penny stock, which it most certainly will, yeah, he's going to have to deal with some things. But I mean, how many times can you convict him and how many times can you put him in jail? The bottom line is he's going to be taken out of the narrative completely, and there's going to be any number of ways that that is going to happen. Now, Trump is very guilty of promoting a failing company to influence the sale and value of stocks, so he too should spend some time in Club Fed like Martha did. No question about it. Thanks again for offering a daily dose of sanity, and keep doing what you're doing. The oldest boomer, Gary. Well, thank you, Gary. I concur with everything you said. Donald Trump is culpable in this pumping of his stock, pumping a stock that isn't worth shit. And we're seeing it every day. It started out, well, early on at its height, it was $70 a share. Now it's down to 32, and I think it even dipped down into the 20s for a time. So things aren't going well for Donald Trump with regards to the stock. And if he was hoping for a big payday, by the time he's able to take money out of it, they probably won't have much money. All right, this one comes from Levi. Mike, if those Trump-la-fuck Supreme Court assholes rule for immunity for Trump, please organize a march on Washington and the justices' homes to protest. Well, Levi, I don't think they're going to give him immunity. They're not going to agree to that immunity. That would be awful for the Supreme Court. Because you give Donald Trump that kind of immunity and he becomes president again, there's really no need for a Supreme Court or a Supreme Court that might go against him. He'll just make decisions on his own. The Supreme Court knows this. The Supreme Court also knows if they give Donald Trump immunity, they're giving Joe Biden immunity. And theoretically, he wouldn't do it, but theoretically, Joe Biden could cancel the November election, put Donald Trump in jail, and fire the Supreme Court justices. And nothing would happen to him because, well, he has immunity. Yeah, Donald Trump's not going to get that immunity thing. We won't have to protest over it because it's just absolutely silly and there's no way they're going to give it to him. All right, thank you for that email. Next one. Hi, Mike. I ran across this article from The Hill the other day. Good publication. I haven't heard anyone else cover it. Below is a portion. Former Representative Ken Buck took shots at Marjorie Taylor Greene on Monday, attacking his former GOP colleague as Moscow Marjorie. The jab comes after former Speaker Kevin McCarthy called Greene a very serious legislator. So fucking funny. Following her threat to force a vote to oust Speaker Mike Johnson. Now, Buck continues, my experience with Marjorie is people have talked to her about not filing articles of impeachment on President Biden before he was sworn into office, on not filing articles of impeachment that were groundless made on other individuals in the Biden administration, and she was never moved by that. She was always focused on her social media account. But from where Buck stands, Greene doesn't just suffer from a distracting social media addiction. She's also blindly following the will of the Kremlin. Moscow Marjorie is focused on this Ukraine issue and getting her talking points from the Kremlin and making sure that she is popular and she's getting a lot of coverage. Echoing two other Republican lawmakers who have warned that many in the GOP are pushing the Russian propaganda. Sickening and treasonous, but not very surprising. Also, the last paragraph mentions two other reps. Makes me wonder if Moore is getting ready to walk away after Mike Gallagher recently quit. Yeah, I think that may happen. And I think we may see the Democrats getting the majority in the House. It kind of makes sense. We're coming up to this election, and all the Democrats are going to do is say, you guys did nothing in the House of Representatives, and they'll be able to prove it. They can't come up with something. They can't accomplish anything between now and November. So it would make sense to just give way to the Democrats, let them have control for the last 6 months, and then start complaining about them, because that's what the Republicans do best. The email ends up, thanks again for all your posts and podcasts. Peg HM. Thank you, Peg. You make some good points. All right. This one says, hi, Boomer. Such a great weekend. The Masters Tournament is my favorite sports thing, and that blubberous fuck goes to criminal trial on Monday. So many people have wanted accountability for so long are missing the moment. They've seen him slip through so many times that now that it's here, they don't want to believe it. I agree with you. I'm finding myself pep-talking people, including one who lives here in my house and cooks me dinner a lot, telling them not to miss what we've all waited for. When you review the four cases, it's so glorious. This first one is a clear and cut documents case where Cohen already went to prison for his role. It ain't complicated. Yeah, they've already proven this is criminal because Cohen went to jail for doing Donnie's bidding. It's not going to be a hard one. In the Florida documents case, at a very minimum, the obstruction of justice is flagrant and well documented through testimony and even video. It's comically obvious. In George's case, he's on tape for Christ's sake, and others have already pled out in the same conspiracy, and they got that pussy Mark Meadows gift wrapped. In the Jack Smith case, it's a hub and spoke with multiple players on all on behalf of the principal beneficiary. The J6 rioters were cannon fodder, the tires of the hub and spoke. So the hub goes down to, and the evidence is voluminous. Hell, they even have those Secret Service texts. He is so screwed, and it couldn't happen to a more malignant fuck. I'll hand it to you, Boom. You called it pretty close so far. I hope you're right about him not being the nominee, because I want our system to have held enough to have prevented that ridiculous and perverse scenario. Best, Garage Door Jeff. P.S. I watched a little Bluey to see what you're up against. Good, fun kids shows. I watched Soupy Sales as a kid. So did I. To have your mind blown, go watch an episode on Retro TV. It's absolutely insane. Yeah, it was a little insane. I remember watching Soupy Sales. And Bluey. My wife loves Bluey. I don't watch it as closely as she does. And she says there's a lot of humor intended for adults in there. And she's a teacher, so she's not put off by anything that be untoward in these things. And she's happy for little Junie to watch the show. But what we're finding out about her is she gets on something and then she's off it real quick. One time it's Bluey. Next time it's Baby Shark. Now it's Super Kitties. And we're just hoping against hope by the time we have the party in a couple weeks that she'll still like Super Kitties, because that's what the party's going to be about. You make good points, and I'm glad you have the stance you have. Too many people are fatalistic about this and say, oh, it's never worked, so it's going to fail. This motherfucker's got four jurisdictions, four criminal cases, and 91 felony charges, or 88. They may have cut some out of there. Anyway, there's far too many for him to come out unscathed. There's no way he doesn't get convicted of crimes. It's just not possible. And when he gets convicted of these crimes, well, then shit changes. His standing as far as a candidate and his ability to move around. Some of these people are going to have to wait to see it. But I think, like me, Jeff, you can see the writing on the wall. He's not a superhero. He can't get away from everything. And there's just too much shit. All right, the next one comes from Beth. She says, I listened to all your daily TikTok videos under CaiusMommy64, and you helped me immensely with filling in detail and your great and on-spot perspectives on things. Here is a concern I have. Not sure you remember the John Gotti trials in the 80s. Well, he got off at least one instance, I know, by someone contacting murderers and actually paying them to render a verdict of not guilty. As we all know, this is a rat cornered. He is desperate, and witness tampering is not beneath him. Nothing is. Beth. Yeah. I made that comparison between Gotti and Donald Trump, always slipping through things. But you remember the last court case, he didn't slip through. He died in prison of cancer. The other thing you have to consider, too, is while John Gotti was a despicable fuck, he was a hell of a lot smarter and a hell of a lot more powerful than Donald Trump. And it was a different era. The media wasn't quite as involved. I don't see that happening with Donald Trump. He doesn't have the wherewithal. Some people say he's like a mob boss, but most people also suggest he's too stupid to be a mob boss. I understand the concern, but I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think that's going to happen. Next one comes from Lisa. Mike, I love your videos and your podcast. I'm an avid follower of you, so I'll get to the point. I'm really bothered by the fact that Republicans can't seem to do anything on their own. Donald Trump is the final say on anything they do. Why is that? He's not the president, and he's not in the House, so what's his place? Why are they following him? They can't do anything on their own. Trump is not going to walk away from the hearing coming up on Monday, and the evidence will be enough to find him guilty. Lisa. Well, that is the $64,000 question. After all you've seen, all you've heard, all you've experienced, you still follow Donald Trump. How is that possible? Is it stupidity? Are they in a cult? What? I don't even know how to explain that. Anybody with any intelligence. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. They can't get out of their own fucking way. Donald Trump says, send the abortion issue back to the state. So Arizona has it. They go back to 1864, some draconian fucking law, and they institute it through the Supreme Court. Well, now everybody's pissed off and upset about it because the Republicans are finally realizing, oh, this is a loser. This is going to cost us an election. Even Donald Trump says, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. They'll fix that. Don't worry about it. So even though Donald Trump, Sean Hannity, and a bunch of other people said, nah, that's fucked up, not because they minded the abortion ban, but because they knew it was going to kill them politically. So what happens? They go into the legislature and somebody puts up a bill to repeal that law. And guess what happens? The Republicans in the legislature block it and keep the law. Even though they know this is a death knell for the election, they still fucking do it. It is truly amazing. It's inexplicable. I can't explain it. I don't know. But thankfully, they're doing it now because they're killing themselves, and hopefully we'll be finally rid of them in November. All right, this one comes from Gary in Massachusetts. Hey, Mike, not that I'm a huge Dwayne The Rock Johnson fan, but I've always found him to be fairly affable individual. Him coming out and preemptively declining to choose a candidate openly reeks of a hidden agenda. I'm curious as to your take on this. Always a fan, Gary from Massachusetts. I'm glad you brought this up. I mean, in terms of politics, as famous and as rich as Dwayne The Rock Johnson is, in terms of politics, he's pretty inconsequential. I know he has influence over a lot of his fans, and that's well and good. He went in and in 2020 endorsed Joe Biden. And now he's saying he's not going to endorse anybody. Does that suggest he's disappointed in Joe Biden or that he all of a sudden wants to support Donald Trump? He knows if he supports Donald Trump, he's going to get heat from 75% of this country. So he's not going to do that. But he's not going to support Joe Biden either, even though he knows that's the only best choice you have. So why isn't he doing that? Well, secondly, why does it fucking matter? Who cares what Dwayne The Rock Johnson thinks? But the reason he's not doing it has nothing to do with politics, in my opinion. It has more to do with his bottom line. He doesn't want to cut out even 25% of his possible fan base by picking a side. So if he doesn't pick a side, then the Trumplafucks will love him too. And let's be honest, we're talking about pro wrestling. Trumplafucks are big pro wrestling fans, but they buy into it just like they buy into Donald Trump. So Dwayne The Rock is just trying to keep his bottom line solid and take money and get support from everybody. He doesn't want to be divisive in this thing. And most athletes and most stars will do that. They're afraid of what will happen if they pick a side. Some do because they don't give a shit, and those people I appreciate. But I think that's why. I think it's about money. It's not about politics. And as I said, who cares what The Rock thinks about politics? He's nobody. I know he said he was going to run for president. Please don't do that, Rock. You're a decent actor. You're a good wrestler. Just do what you fucking do. Make your money and then retire. All right. I wanted to talk about this. Former President Trump defended House Speaker Mike Johnson on Friday amid the threats to his speakership from a faction of FAR. This is interesting. He was protecting him against the far-right Republicans who are angry about his reliance on the Democratic votes to pass legislation. In fact, when they shut down the FISA bill, embarrassing Mike Johnson, Donald Trump was the guy that said, kill the bill. He was trying to embarrass Mike Johnson. He was probably behind the idea of kicking him out of office because he was being compliant with the Democrats. Yet Mike Johnson packs his little bags and goes down to Mar-a-Lago, hugs Donnie Trump, kisses his dirty diapered ass, and now they're buddies. Well, that's what Mike Johnson went down there for. And Mike Johnson is smart enough to understand Donald Trump. Donald Trump is very easily manipulated. All you have to do is go down, hug him, kiss his ring, kiss his diapered ass, tell him he's great, and then he'll back you, regardless of what he thought yesterday. That's how he does it. And now he supports Mike Johnson. And what's funniest about this, what's the funniest part of this, is who's behind trying to kick out Mike Johnson? Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the MAGA fucks, the people who pay homage and worship Donald Trump. So Mike Johnson goes down there, the enemy of Marjorie Taylor Greene and MAGA, goes down there, hugs Donald Trump, and Donald Trump says he's a good guy. So Donald Trump just fucked his own people, Marjorie Taylor Greene and MAGA. Now what do? Do you kick them out and piss off Donald Trump? Donald Trump fucked him. And this is why Donald Trump is so dangerous, because he flip-flops. He doesn't really have an opinion. He'll do whatever ever is expeditious to him and get him money and votes and support. So he put MAGA in a bad situation. He weakened MAGA by doing what he did. And I'm all for it. Fucking thank God. This is what he said about Mike Johnson, the guy he tried to embarrass just a few days ago. He says, I think he's doing a very good job, and he's doing about as good as you're going to do, Trump said Friday after a meeting with Johnson at Mar-a-Lago. It's unfortunate that people bring it up because right now we have much bigger problems, he added, of the efforts to oust Johnson as the Speaker of the House. Now, it's unclear if Trump's words of affirmation for Johnson will be enough to save his job, but it certainly helps his odds. Donald Trump's on your side. How do you go out and piss off Donald Trump? We know MAGA and the Republicans don't want to piss off Donald Trump, so now they're in a confusing situation. Mike Johnson is going to do what he has to do, and they're going to want to try to kick him out, but Donald Trump loves him now. But I'll tell you what's going to happen. He's going to put up that Ukraine bill. It's going to pass with the Democrats. They've already passed the FISA bill, the second version of it. And then Donald Trump will say, hey, that's fucked up. And then he'll be mad at Mike Johnson again. And then MAGA will try to kick him out. I honestly don't care if they kick out Mike Johnson. As long as they get the Ukraine bill and the FISA bill done, we're good. He can kick him out and we can just forget about him for a month or so until they find some other dupe to be the fucking Speaker of the House. So it's going to be interesting. A group of Republican hardliners led by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene are upset with Johnson, of course. But what do they do now? Last month, Greene filed a motion to oust Johnson from the speakership, but she hasn't gone forward with forcing a vote on the matter, probably because it's not going to pass, leaving Johnson scrambling for support from Trump. Well, what's going to probably happen is the Democrats are going to say, we need this Ukraine thing. You put it up, we pass it, and then we'll make sure they don't kick you out because we've got half of the caucus in the House of Representatives. That's probably what's going to happen. They don't really lose much by saving Mike Johnson. I mean, we need a Speaker of the House to get anything done, and anybody other than Mike Johnson isn't going to be better than Mike Johnson, so what the fuck? Let's just ride this out and get Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker of the House after the election. So that's what's kind of going on there. Now, the announcement is better viewed as a bid by Johnson to neutralize opposition from his right flank, which is also up in arms over reports that the speaker may put to a vote some sort of package that includes more U.S. aid for Ukraine. Oh, they don't like that, which is absolutely stupid. That's the first thing they should be doing. Now, I think Trump said, we're thinking about making it in the form of a loan instead of just a gift. We keep handing out gifts of billions, said Trump, who's getting nothing but gifts of millions every fucking day, a billionaire who has to beg money. The audacity of Donald Trump. It's not going to be a loan. It's going to be funding for Ukraine. It's something we need to do. It's something we will do. Donald Trump will be disappointed. Mike Johnson will be hated, and nobody fucking cares, because in 6 months, Republicans will be out of fucking business. All right. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. All right. We were talking about the House trying to pass a FISA bill. First one went out, the Republicans were all for it, and then they blocked it. They didn't allow it to pass. And that was an embarrassment for Mike Johnson, and they didn't pass it because Donald Trump said not to pass it, which is weird because while Donald Trump was president, he did pass it. He did pass the authorization. This is all just a ploy to try to make Donald Trump or Joe Biden look bad, and it didn't work. It worked the opposite. It made the Republicans look stupid. And that's typical Donald Trump. Now, on Friday, the House passed a bill to renew a controversial anti-terror foreign spying program over the objections of pro-privacy and civil liberties advocates. So they did get the bill passed, which is good because it was going to run out on April 19th. They needed to get it done before that, which they did. There's still some fucking around they have to do next week and get it to the Senate and all that stuff, but it was important to get it done. Now, the bill to renew Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, a 9/11 era provision allowing U.S. agencies to keep track of foreigners abroad, but that had been used to spy on Americans in the past, is on track to go to the Senate after a 273-147 vote. And that's the big sticking point. Are they using it to spy on Americans? Well, clearly they are. That Snowden guy who's in exile in Russia, he worked in intelligence, and he said, in fact, they are. Now, what happened was the first FISA bill wasn't as draconian and infringing on people's rights enough for Republican sake. So they made this one, the one that passed, even more draconian. Now, the fight over renewing the Section 702 created an uncommon alliance between the House Freedom Caucus, a group of conservative and libertarian Republican House members, and the Congressional Progressive Caucus, composed of liberal House Democrats, to demand more safeguards against spying on American citizens. That split showed up in the vote total. The final tally on the bill was unusually bipartisan, with 147 Democrats teaming up with 126 Republicans in favor, compared to 88 Republicans and 59 Democrats against it. America lost a lot of liberty today. The House version of the FISA that passed today is worse than the status quo for American citizens. And that was said by Warren Davis, a Republican from Ohio. The core issue here is the intel community put a lot of information that wasn't even correct that we had to keep countering, said Representative Jayapal. But I'm proud of our members on both sides of the aisles that made it clear that this is an issue that needs to be addressed. Excuse me. The coalition was opposed by a similarly bipartisan group of lawmakers worried that the proposed changes would hamper the effectiveness of the provision, especially in the wake of a potentially revived ISIS terror group and other global dangers. That's weird that ISIS has come back up. I could have sworn that Donald Trump said he destroyed ISIS. Apparently not. Apparently he was wrong. Oh, imagine that. The FISA reauthorization passed today is a strong bipartisan bill to reform and reauthorize our most important foreign intelligence collection tool. I hope the Senate will move quickly to ensure we have no lapse in this critical authority, said Representative Jim Himes. He is a Democrat from Connecticut, and he's the top Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee. Now, while the bill's passage was a victory for the White House and for House Speaker Mike Johnson, who saw an initial attempt to get on the bill floor fail on Wednesday, it came with a cost. Instead of a 5-year reauthorization bill, it is now only 2 years. Now, that's interesting. Why did they need to make that change? Excuse me. Again, it has something to do with Donald Trump. See, Donald Trump is delusional. If that reauthorization was to come in 5 years, that would come after the term of the next president, and Donald Trump thinks he's going to be president. Donald Trump wants the opportunity, when he becomes president, to fuck with this even more, make it even more draconian. So they needed to shorten the reauthorization date from 5 years to 2 years. But this is where the Republicans fuck themselves. This is where they fuck themselves good. You see, Donald Trump is not going to be the president in November. He doesn't have a chance in hell of winning. So if they'd gone with the 5 years and Joe Biden became the president, then the Democrats would be stuck with it. But now, because they changed it, because he's delusional and thinks he's going to be president, now Joe Biden, 2 years in, can take a look at this stuff, fix all the stuff that the Republicans fucked up, and do it right. So thanks a lot, Republicans. Now, the pro section 702 forces won a major victory as they successfully fought off an amendment that would have required the government to get a warrant to search the materials of Americans whose communications with foreigners were swept up in the spying. The amendment lost on a dramatic 212 to 212 tie vote, failing to get the majority required to be adopted. Now, winning that amendment vote was crucial to the bill's opponents. See what I mean? They want free reign to do whatever they fucking want and spy on Americans as well as foreigners. Now, there is a couple of things they have to do before they actually send it to the Senate. Somebody filed a motion to reconsider. They'll vote on that. It probably won't pass, and then it will go to the Senate. So it's probably not going to go to the Senate until midweek next week. We can keep our country safe while simultaneously protecting Americans' Fourth Amendment rights to privacy, but this version of the FISA reauthorization doesn't get that balance right. In San Diego, and Middle Eastern communities are routinely wrapped up in FISA collections of communications just for talking with their family members abroad. And that comes from Representative Sarah Jacobs. See, that's the thing. If Americans are talking to terrorists, I don't give a fuck if the Americans are being listened to. But if they're just calling their cousin in some other country, therein lies the problem. So, Matt Gaetz said, I feel like we're living in a bizarro world. We had more Republicans than Democrats by a pretty good margin vote for civil liberties, vote for Fourth Amendment protections, said Representative Matt Gaetz. In the tie vote, 128 Republicans joined 84 Democrats in favor of the warrant requirement. You know what's bizarro, Matt? The fact that you're still in office after your raping of underage girls. I'm just saying, it seems weird that a member of Congress would still be in office after being such a fucking creep. House Intelligence Chairman Mike Turner said the amendment would have made it harder to search data obtained from terror organizations like Hamas or Hezbollah. This is dangerous. It will make us go blind, he said on the House floor. While it passed the House, the bill may take an extra day or two to get to the Senate. After the bill passed, supporters of the amendment asked for its reconsideration, basically a vote on whether to re-vote on the bill's passage. That would be held next week, but it's unlikely to do much other than delay the bill's arrival in the Senate. That could still be significant, though, as the Senate may be tied up with disposing of House impeachment charges against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And April 19th is the final day of the current law's authorization. They love that, you know? Let's make it dramatic. Let's take it down to the last minute of the last day and come out as heroes. Bunch of drama queens in the House of Representatives. All right. Now, apparently some investors in Trump's new public media company having kind of a bad time right now. We talked about that earlier, or maybe I talked about that in the live. I'm not sure. But according to a new CNN report, Trump Media is now trading below $31. That's quite a ways from the initial day spike of nearly $80 on March 26th, the day it went public on NASDAQ under the ticker symbol DJT. Now, in fact, anyone who bought Trump Media at the closing high of $66.22 on March 27th has now lost more than half their money. Getting tired of winning yet? One consequence of this is that Trump himself, who holds 57% of the stock and stood to gain $4 billion in nominal wealth from the Trump Media deal, has now seen much of that wiped out and was recently booted off the Bloomberg billionaire list, which is killing him. But he isn't alone. Plenty of other people hold the stock, and some have held it from day one, and they are getting their ass kicked every day. Now, one person who at least at one point held shares, Marjorie Taylor Greene. However, she currently appears unwilling to discuss what happened with those shares. She doesn't have as much money as everybody else. I guarantee you she bailed as soon as the going got tough. Now, one common way to value stock is to measure their price-to-sales ratio. Now, even if Trump's media share price crashed to just over a dollar, it would still have a much steeper price-to-sales ratio than Meta, Pinterest, Snap, Reddit, or even Rumble, according to Renaissance Capital's Matthew Kennedy. At one point, Trump Media had a staggering $1,500 price-to-sale ratio. But even that's going to die. Barry Diller, a billionaire who chairs Expedia and the parent company of People magazine, has already sounded the alarm. Trump Media stock is a scam. That's what he said, and that is an absolute fact. But a Trump spokesperson pushed back on all the such claims, saying that it is unsurprising to see diehard Trump haters and left-wing flacks blow a gasket now that Truth Social has become public. It could be a partisan thing. It could be a political thing. Or maybe it's that in last year, you lost $58 million. You only brought in $4 million. You started out in the stock market at 80 and you went down to 31. Tell me of those things, which is a positive, which is something that should encourage me to invest in such a stock. Yeah, you're trying to put lipstick on a pig, but it doesn't work. People are losing money hand over fist. Nobody's going to invest in something like that if that continues. So, fuck you. All right, we have the trial coming up in the Manhattan District. Criminal trial for Donald Trump. He's got 34 felony charges. It's not looking good. He's tried his little heart out to try to get it delayed to no avail. He's going to have to show up on Monday. He's going to have to sit in court through the entire day. He's not going to be able to leave. He's not going to be able to get mad and stomp out because they'll drag him back or drag him to jail. He's got to be there. And he's going to have to try to behave. And as I've said before, that's not likely. That's just not likely. Donnie doesn't have it in him to behave. But Donnie's already talking shit. Donald Trump said he's ready to sing again under oath. He's ready to testify. Yeah. He said, yeah, I would testify, Trump said earlier Friday during a presser with Mike Johnson, who made a pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago, as we talked about. That's not a trial. That's a scam. No, Donnie, it's a trial. What you do is a fucking scam. Do you really think he's going to testify? He said he would testify in front of the January 6th committee, too, but that didn't happen. Donald Trump says a lot of shit, and most of it is bullshit. He's not going to testify. I wish he would. It would be devastating for him if he testified. There's no way his lawyers would ever fucking allow it. But who knows? Donald Trump isn't above doing stupid shit. And if he sees it going badly, in his little narcissistic mind, he will think that he can pull it out of the flames and talk his way out of it. So he'll insist on going up there, and he will just destroy himself. I don't know. I like to be surprised. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. But either way, when it's all said and done, Donald Trump will have multiple criminal convictions, and I'll be happy as a motherfucker. Now, former federal prosecutor Ankush Kadori said it sounds like a declaration of strength to flex his truth-telling, but the prosecutor wonders if former President Donald Trump remembers how the other times went. It's generally not a good idea for defendants to testify in their own defense in criminal cases, said Kadori while interviewed on CNN's Out Front. He then pointed to the damage Trump inflicted on himself when he took the stand in other instances. Trump has done this in civil cases, of course, very recently, including New York Attorney General's civil business fraud trial and E. Jean Carroll's second trial, and those did not go well. Donald Trump cannot tell the truth, and he can't help but look stupid. And he can't help but implicate himself in crimes that weren't even on the table. Now, back in November, Trump was sworn in to speak during his civil fraud disgorgement trial, where Manhattan Supreme Court Justice Arthur Engoron appeared to have lost his patience with Trump, calling the state AG Letitia James a political hack and pumping up his real estate success. Donald Trump said, "This is the opposite of fraud," referring to James, a Democrat whose office brought the lawsuit. He said, "The fraud is her." Now, Engoron had to plead with one of Trump's attorneys at one point, saying, "I beseech you to control him if you can. If you can't, I will." Now, when a judge says, "I beseech you," he means that shit. And when Trump appeared in court and spoke under oath in the E. Jean Carroll second defamation case, it was after Judge Lewis Kaplan had to quiet down numerous outbursts by Donald Trump. Yeah, it didn't go well. So we're going to see what's going to happen. It is most certainly going to be a shit show. It's going to be a problem for Donald Trump. He's not going to come out of this well, and he's going to look stupid. And he's going to get convicted. So all around, it's going to be a fun couple of months watching Donald Trump implode and get convicted. All right, there's a publication called The Guardian, and a contributor of this publication, Lloyd Green said, for all his bombast, Trump is plummeting financially, legally, and politically. That was the title of the article. And it explores the notion that the 45th president's spectacular veneer being humbled left and right parallels with the pretender anti-villain character Oz from L. Frank Baum's fantasy series, where he, he submits, there is less than the eye meets. And with all the troubles facing former President Trump, the attempt to fend off chinks in his armor is becoming tougher. You see it now. As I've said before, he's got too many balls in the air. He can't control them. And this is troublesome for Donald Trump because he is, in fact, a control freak. And when he can't control everything, he is going to fucking freak out. Now, this writer says exactly what I've said all along. To him, image is almost everything. Over and above jail, over and above money, it's image. He's got to appear strong, smart, rich, powerful, and all those things. And that's starting to come apart. The wheels are coming off the bus. Now, Green summarized some of former President Donald Trump's pitfalls of late. The DJT stock parent company of True Social is tanking. His felony criminal fraud trial is likely not going to be delayed after he tried 11 times to get it adjourned. Then Green takes some swipes at the Don. He says, if cover-up is the real crime, Trump's hush money charges have a Nixonian ring, he writes. Trump is a guy whose businesses are no stranger to bankruptcy or allegations of fraud. He leaves wreckage in his wake everywhere he goes. Now, the spirit of Trump University remains alive like life in Oz. So much in Trump world is illusionary. And that's really it. It's with Donald Trump, it's all performative. It's no substance. His university wasn't a university at all. It wasn't accredited. He took a bunch of money from people and told them they'd get rich because of what he would teach them. And he knew it wouldn't work. But people just jumped on board wanting to get rich, another get-rich scheme, and he grifted and defrauded all of them. Now, back in 2018, the ex-president paid a $25 million settlement owed to attendees of the series of real estate seminars called Trump University. Yeah, he had to pay back $25 million. Oh, he's an amazing businessman, isn't he? Yeah, he's got it nailed. Now, Trump's other issues involving his various bonds for civil fraud and defamation also working against Trump's Teflon reputation. His assets are getting tied up. His liquidity is waning. And there's the Trump character. Yeah, Donnie Trump's character is in question, and it should be. The last thing they need is a thrice-married libertine 70-something with a penchant for adult films and Playboy models telling them how to raise their kids or meddling in their personal lives. Now, according to Green, raising concern over Trump's alleged affairs with Stormy Daniels and former Playboy playmate Karen McDougal. Now, when a guy who hawks Bibles for a side hustle refuses to say whether any of his partners ever had an abortion, it's time to roll your eyes and guard your wallet. I guarantee at some point in time, there was an abortion involved. In fact, there was a story out, and I think it was pretty prevalent. Might have been in Marla Maples' book. When Marla Maples got pregnant with Tiffany, she told Donald Trump, and Donald Trump's answer to it wasn't, oh, great, we're going to have a baby. Can't wait. That isn't what he said. He said, so what are we going to do about it? Marla said, what do you mean, what are we going to do about it? I mean, what are we going to do about it? You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Marla Maples said, I'm not having an abortion because this is a wonderful thing and I can't wait to have this child. So she didn't have the abortion. Tiffany was born, and Donald Trump would just as soon have had her aborted, which is ironic when we've got a guy who is looking at overturning Roe v. Wade and did it and took credit for it. See, this is the thing about Donald Trump. He doesn't believe in anything. He doesn't care about anything. He's only concerned with what's expedient for him and what he wants, whether it be money or fame or power or whatever it is. He'll say whatever he has to say to get it done and get it taken care of. That's why I'm amazed by how all these people follow him for his ideology. He has no ideology. It's just all about self-aggrandizing and self-enrichment. That's all it is for Donald Trump. He doesn't have the depth to think about anything that's right or best for anybody but himself. Now, this article goes on and says, and for all the mockery of his opponent, incumbent President Joe Biden, Green suggests it's Trump who is the one that's faltering with his led by a microscopic 0.2%. And he believes proves the Oz ethos, writing, Joe Biden is in the hunt and Donald Trump is looking like the old man behind the curtain. And there's no question about that. That's exactly what's going on. Joe Biden is old and maybe slower than he used to be. But the fact of the matter is that Donald Trump is the one that's looking diminished. I've said this before. We keep hearing about these polls that are supposed to be with Donald Trump in front or more popular or anything like that. I've said that, and I've always said, and I'll say it again, I'm not as worried about the polls. The fundraising is what tells the story to me. Joe Biden has raised twice as much as Donald Trump. If Donald Trump was as popular as Joe Biden, he would be equal with Joe Biden. It's one thing to get a phone call or a text message and say, yeah, I like Joe or I like Donald Trump. When somebody actually goes into their pocket, takes as much money as they feel comfortable with, and gives it to a candidate, to me, that is the essence of support. That is the definition of support. It's real easy to take a phone call and just talk some shit or lie, because we know people lie in those things. But if you look at the fundraising, that tells us a lot. That tells us quite a lot. And that's why I think this is going to be absolutely will be absolutely a blue wave, and Donald Trump will get destroyed. Now, one of the other things to consider as we're winding things down, whether he's found guilty or innocent in the Manhattan District trial, and he will most certainly be found guilty, the damage done to Donald Trump when he appears for the first time as a defendant in the lower Manhattan criminal courts Monday will probably hurt his standing with a key part of his MAGA base, the evangelicals. The one thing that troubles Donald the most is the stuff that's coming out, the scandalous stuff, the salacious stuff. He's going to be embarrassed by it. And all these evangelicals, it may be too much for them to stomach. Former Colorado Congressman Ken Buck made clear that former President Donald Trump could be badly bruised once trial gets going and the unsavory details go public in the case accusing him of fudging his business records to block from public to view payments to prevent alleged affairs with porn star Stormy Daniels and ex-Playboy playmate Karen McDougal from going public before the 2016 election. It's all pretty sketchy and all really against what evangelicals support. And the problem is, it's not just going to be covered up on Fox News. It's going to be everywhere. Anybody who has an interest in this case, and you can bet that the evangelicals do, are going to have a problem with what comes out. A lot of this stuff has been reported, but they will say, oh, it's just CNN. We don't believe that shit. Well, this is going to be coming directly from the court. They don't have any choice but to believe it. And this is what's putting Donald Trump in a bad situation. Now, he went on to say, the key to me is the essence of this case has to do with Donald Trump having an extramarital affair. They are paying a woman to have that affair and then paying the woman not to talk about the affair during the campaign of the president for the presidency in 2016. The now citizen Buck said during a CNN appearance. It's in the sordid details of Trump's suspected philandering and his efforts behind the scenes that could get a swath of his faithful a little pissed off. That will turn off a lot of Republican evangelical Christian voters, Buck said, and I think they will be hard-pressed to support this president regardless of whether he's convicted or not convicted. He added, it's important to remind folks of the essence of this case and where it began. Trump's criminal case stems from a $130,000 payment that the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg says the ex-president paid to Daniels for her silence and $150,000 that was paid to the National Enquirer parent company AMI to McDougal to bury stories that she also engaged in a sexual relationship. As I say, this is very scandalous. This is very salacious. People are going to be all over this shit. And when the evangelicals realize that all these rumors were true, that's going to put a bad taste in their mouth. And it's not just that. The evangelicals are already getting a little pissed off at Donald Trump because of what he said about abortion. I think we should give it back to the states. Well, that's contrary to what the evangelicals and the radical right want. They want a nationwide ban, and Donald Trump flat out said, I will not sign a nationwide ban. He's trying to appease the 75% that support Roe v. Wade, which he won't accomplish because he's already taken credit for overturning Roe v. Wade. We wouldn't be in this situation unless he'd done that. And the 75% know that and hate him for it. But now by saying he's not for a national abortion law, the evangelicals and the radical right. They ain't going to like that shit. They ain't going to like that shit one bit. So Donald Trump has succeeded in pissing off everybody. And then you throw in a salacious little trial with adultery and covering up money and cheating on an election. That may be too much for the evangelicals. I say maybe, because the evangelicals have sucked up a lot of shit just to get Roe v. Wade overturned. Well, they've already done that. What do they expect out of Donald Trump now? To keep it that way? I don't know. Donald Trump just told them he's not going to sign a national abortion ban. So they're going to probably be out the door with Donald Trump. And once again, Donald Trump fucks himself over again and worse. This trial on Monday is going to be very interesting. It's going to be very, very fucking interesting. And I can't wait till it gets started, because every day we're going to have some interesting motherfucking stories. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for spending the time to listen. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.